Hi, everybody. This is Jeremy. My wife, Candace, and I are the pastors at the Ridge Assembly at Park Hill. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope this message connects with you, that inspires you, reveals God's word of truth in your life. Be encouraged and enjoy the message. All right, so here we go. Last week was Easter. So, of course, we talked about the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, and that the same power that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal bodies right now through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And that was just, it's an amazing time to celebrate what we have access to. But before that, for several weeks before that, we were talking about King Saul. And I want to go back real quick and hit that because there is a capstone to the story of King Saul that I think is very relevant to us right here, right now. So King Saul's story is not necessarily a fun story, right? It's a little bit on the sad side because we see him going down this slippery slope of disobedience and eventually seeing a complete downward spiral. Because he rejected the things of God, he found himself, because, you know, nature hates a vacuum and hell is never satisfied. He hates, because he rejected the thing of God, he was eventually tormented by evil, jealous for the people of God who could still walk in the presence of God, continuing down and down and down until he was consulting spirits and dabbling in witchcraft. And it's a sad story. The story of King Saul is sad, and honestly, it's familiar. Because like we said the last week, that when anyone, whether it's a person or a society, rejects the things of God, we can see that same downward spiral will take hold, right? We see that happening in our society. We see people that are tormented by evil because they're unable, because they don't have a relationship with God. They're unable to find the gifts and the presence of God. So the nature hates a vacuum and hell is never satisfied. So people are tormented today. And there's a lot of people that hate the church and the things of God because they see what we have and they're jealous. And so they're calling what's good evil and what's evil good. And there's people, honestly, that our society is beginning to dabble into the spirit things and calling out to demons and serving idols. So many idols, maybe not necessarily what we would think of as wood or stone, but idolatry is certainly rampant. And we see the same slippery slope from disobedience to the spiral of sin that Saul went down. But here's the catch, ladies and gentlemen, that Saul quit God, but God didn't leave Israel. God raised up David. And in our society, you know, the people may want to quit God, but God hasn't quit us. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that just like God raised up a David, God is going to raise up a church. And God does have a church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so in these last days, I truly believe that just like God raised up David, God will raise up a church. So let's read quickly from 1 Samuel 16, and we'll check out some parallels. This is when the Lord had rejected Saul because Saul rejected him. But since God didn't leave Israel, he raised up another. This is King David. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king." Verse 4 says, Samuel did what the Lord said, and he arrived at Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, well, surely this is the Lord's anointed stands here before me. But the Lord said, okay, Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so the other sons of Jesse parade past Samuel, and it's one after another, and these are big, strapping, strong people that have everything going for them, but every one of them, the Lord's like, that's not the guy. And they're all gone. And Samuel's like, well, I don't get it. I clearly heard the Lord say one of Jesse's sons, and all of these have passed by, so what's the deal? So verse 11, Samuel asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Is this it? They're still the youngest, Jesse answered. And he's just tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We won't sit down even till he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in, and he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel went to Ramah. There was a David for Israel. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, today there is a church. Now, I'm not talking about a church, right? I'm not talking about, you know, building a building or a membership roster or a denomination or any of those things. I'm talking about a people of God that have not yet bowed their knee to Baal. There's a people out there because God is raising up, even in this generation that is very perverse and has gone the way of Saul. No. There is a people that God is raising up to carry the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a remnant. There's a church. There's a David. And there's hope because we're carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the whole thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that there is hope. So guys, let's look at some of the parallels between David and the last day's church. Remember that God has a plan. David, number one, David was chosen because of his heart. Now, Saul was humanity's pick, right? Saul was the tall guy, the guy that was great at sports. He knew all the jokes. He ran with the right crowd. He probably had a great car. He was on the outside, Saul was the guy. But God didn't look at that kind of stuff. God's pick wasn't out of appearance. God's pick was David because of his heart. He was a young man, insignificant in the eyes of even his own father. But God saw his heart. We see all of what I read is summed up in Acts chapter number 13, verse 22, when it says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He'll do everything I want him to do. What an incredible testimony that David had, that he was a man after God's heart. I mean, I want God to say that about me. And can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a church that has a heart for God. Even in this last days, there's a church, and it's not about grand buildings or polished programs. Although, you know what? It's not mutually exclusive. You can have great buildings. I wish we'd have one someday, right? We can have polished programs, and I want to have some of those one day. You can still have the heart of God. But if you have to choose, don't choose the stuff you can see. Choose to have a heart for God. And it's not about political influence. Although, you know what? I pray that God grants us favor. It's about having a heart for God. But it's not about clever sermons or flawless music. You know, the Bible says to study and show yourself approved. And I spend a lot of time preparing because I feel like it's important to handle the Word of God. But it's a big thing. The Bible says to play skillfully on the instruments. So it's a big thing. But if you have to choose, don't choose the skill. Don't choose the polish. Choose the heart for God. And there is a church, even in these last days, that is focused on pleasing God. It's happening. It exists. There is a church Maybe a mega church that hasn't yet lost the truth of the gospel. It may be a 20-person gathering down 2 miles of dirt road. It may be an underground church in China or an African hut that's built next to a Speed the Light water well. But there is a church, and it's about the heart of the people that are crying out to God. There is a church in the suburbs, in the cities. There is a church of people after the heart of God. I've told you the story before, but I like it, so I'll tell you again. One time, it's been years ago now, I was in Paris on business, and it was a Wednesday night, and it just so happened that I didn't have anything planned with some of my business associates that evening, so I pulled up the Googles, and I looked for churches. And sure enough, there's an Assemblies of God. It was a Portuguese Assemblies of God, but I couldn't speak French at the time, and I couldn't speak Portuguese, so tomato, tomato. Anyway, there was a Portuguese Assemblies of God in Versailles, and so I hopped on the train, went out there, and you know the Palace of Versailles, right? So that's where this is. And so it's the Palace of Versailles and all these beautiful churches, and then right next to the Palace of Versailles, well, down another street by the stables, there's an amazing, beautiful church that's kind of just a shell of what it was. But then down the street from that, in a little building that you wouldn't even know, like I walked past it several times before I finally went in, and there was a group of people, not too many, but about like this crowd, there was a group of people that were gathering, and the Spirit of God was there. And you know what? After a while, they were praying and talking in Portuguese, but then a shift happened, and they started speaking in tongues, and man, I was like, man, and my spirit resounded with their spirit, and it was awesome. And this is in Europe. They just turned their back on God for generations. You say, Pastor Jeremy, what's the deal? I'm telling you, there's a church. And it may not be the fancy one with the beautiful clock next to the stables. It may just be, but there is a church that has a heart for God. There's a church that's chosen because of the heart. Secondly, David was chosen because he learned worship behind the scenes. If you read the story of Saul and you read the story of David, they actually start out kind of similar. Same guy, the prophet Samuel, goes to anoint the king, right? He anoints Saul. God gives him a new heart. God gives him gifts. He anoints David. The Spirit of God came over David. The beginning started very similarly, right? It was the anointing. It was fantastic. Everything was good. But that's where Saul's transformation stopped. It was incomplete. Saul left the moment of his anointing with an experience and did not practice the presence of God after that. But David, for him, it was more than just a momentary anointing. He carried the presence of God long after the oil had run off of his head, long after he'd taken a shower and put mousse in his hair, whatever he did back then. Long after Samuel was gone, when he was back in the sheep fields, he was still practicing the presence of God. David learned worship. He learned to walk with God. How do you know that? Well, I read the book of Psalms, and it's incredible. Out of 150 psalms in the book of Psalms, David wrote about 73. Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? 36:5-7, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice is like the great deep. How priceless is your unfailing love. I can imagine that he is dwelling on these things as he's out in the field. There's no one around. Maybe he's looking up at the stars at night. And he's thinking, oh, the Lord, my Lord, has stretched out the heavens. Blessed be the Lord, my God. And from that inside of him flows this worship that allows him to practice the presence. It was more than just a momentary glimpse of God's anointing when he was in the presence of Samuel. It was a lifestyle of worship. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that in these last days, God has a church. Not just that has a heart for God, is practicing worship. That's practicing walking in his presence. God's got a church that's learning to love truly and deeply and fully. It's learning to love God's law and the handiwork in his creation. It's learning to make room for his presence and to follow him. It's learning to trust God from the secret place. Not just on Sundays or Wednesday nights or when the band is hitting or when, you know, the tune is just right. Not just when everything is bunny rabbits and flowers and life is good. Not just in the good times, but learning to worship even when there's no one around looking. That's learning the presence of God. If you can worship by yourself, if you can worship when you think things are falling apart, then you can practice God's presence. And you're going to find yourself not just in a momentary anointing, but walking in step with the Holy Ghost. That is an abiding anointing. And can I tell you, there is a church, and I believe we're part of it. There is a big C church that's not bowed our knees to Baal, that's not going down the slippery slope of rejecting the things of God. There's a church with a heart of God that God himself is teaching worship, and he's teaching it in the secret place. And it's a beautiful church. Beautiful thing. Number three, David was trained outside of the spotlight, kind of behind the scenes. David was anointed, he learned worship, and David was trained. He tended sheep and he protected them. And in learning how to be a shepherd, he also learned what it was like to follow the good shepherd. And that's why I believe that you read in Psalm 23. That thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's talking about protection and leadership, tools of defense and direction. And if you read all of David's story, you're going to see that while he was still a shepherd, that he was killing a lion and a bear because he was learning courage. And that he was learning to use a sling, you know, in the whole David and Goliath story, we read it, that David comes to him with a sling and some stones. And I don't know about you, but I always picture like a Dennis the Menace kind of slingshot. That's just me. But that's not the way it was, right? This is like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle thing that, you know, I've seen videos online. You can't put anything online that's not true, so it's got to be true. But I've seen people throwing rocks out of slings that'll go just hundreds of yards, and so it's a great standoff weapon, really. And if you had to choose between hurling a stone and a sword, it's really not the worst idea to bring a sling. It's really not. And God taught him how to use that outside of the spotlight. I can imagine that his training to stand in front of Goliath was, he was just bored. I mean, watching sheep, you probably don't have a lot to do. And so he started practicing throwing rocks and hitting trees. He started practicing, right? His courage is building. His skill is building. In short, ladies and gentlemen, when nobody was watching, it was the Lord that was giving him opportunities to train mentally, physically. And can I tell you that God is training his church. And most of it is happening outside of the spotlight, just to be honest. I believe that there is a church and that God is teaching us to pray in the secret place, teaching us to worship, not just as an act of adoration, but also as a weapon. It's teaching us to war spiritually. But maybe not walking around on the outside of a city and waiting on the walls to fall, but maybe on our knees in a prayer closet, that God is teaching us to war. And he's training us, preparing us, teaching us to be brave, teaching us what it's like to go boldly before the throne of grace. It's easy to say, sometimes it's hard to do. Teaching us to push back darkness a little bit at a time. He's teaching us these things. And maybe we're outside of the spotlight and you feel like nobody's watching you. And you know what? That's not the worst. Because if you've got an audience of one, it's okay if that one is the king of the universe. And you find yourself in a secret place learning war, learning how to trust, learning how to push, learning in spiritual realms how to stand up and say, no, not my family. Learning how to build a hedge, to make up a wall. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because you're looking for direction, you're looking for leadership, you're looking for protection and guidance. And you learn those in the secret place. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, even as the rest of our society is going down the slippery slope that'll eventually cave into the downward spiral, there is a church who's being trained and ready. Last but not least, David arose to the occasion. And can I tell you, there is a church that will arise to the occasion. After the Lord anointed and the Lord trained, in the fullness of time, there was an opportunity for promotion. And David was ready. You know, several weeks ago we talked about Saul. After he was anointed king, he went for his coronation and they were looking for him. And he was nowhere to be found because he had hidden away from his calling. He was hiding in the equipment. You guys maybe remember that. Okay, David is the opposite. David was anointed. He went back to the sheep fields and he went back to life as usual. But he, in those moments, learned worship. He learned what it was like. He trained for it. And then there was the moment. He's just taking stuff to his brothers on the battle lines. You guys know the story, right? This is David and Goliath. He's just taking some stuff to his brothers, and he gets there, and the whole Israelite army is trembling. But David's like, wait a minute. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? He says, no. This is my moment. And he was able to step in to that anointing and use what he had learned. And then after that, he led Israel governing and stewarding the blessing. And it's an amazing story. I love the story of David. And can I tell you that the church will and is rising to the occasion? What's the occasion? Well, the occasion is that darkness is coming against us. The gates of hell are coming, like when the enemy comes in like a flood. Well, the enemy's coming in like a flood. Thankfully, the Lord is raising up a standard. The Lord is raising a banner. And the church will not be defeated. God has a church. Matthew 24:14 says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We got something to do. Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what we've got to be up to. That's our call. And those are the things we're going to rise to the occasion for. We have to preach the gospel to all nations. What's the gospel? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus said, quoting from Isaiah. We must and we will rise to the occasion. We will, we must, and we are using the anointing and the training that we found in the secret place to impact our society. And when everything starts getting weird, we, the church, are going to be steady-handed. We're going to be the voice of reason. We're going to be full of faith. We're not going to shrink back from whatever comes. We're not going to compromise truth, even when it's not popular. We're going to engage in spiritual warfare because we know that in the end, our Redeemer lives, and we're going to stand with him on those days. We're going to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue to build the kingdom of God on the earth, not shrinking back from the call that God has on us. about Saul, I want to take 1 week to talk about David. It's just like Saul is a picture of what we don't want to do. Unfortunately, we can see a lot of Saul in our own society. I think, I know, that we can also see a lot of David in the church.
Through life, we live life. We get up every morning, we go through our day, and we think, you know, what's my purpose? It may not be big, you know, we're looking for this big, extravagant thing in the sky, and maybe it's not that. You may come across one person and give them a smile, and they needed it, because we carry the Spirit of God in us. We affect change. We affect our atmosphere. We have a purpose. I want you to get that in your mind. And the Word of God is what transforms us, and it breaks those shackles off that we have binding us and keeping us from our purpose. The enemy wants to keep us down. We're in a day where we can't stay down. We have to know our purpose. And it's in Christ. And it's Christ in us, which is the hope of the world.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We invite you to be part of our online community by subscribing to this podcast. Also, follow us on social media at The Ridge Assembly PH on Facebook and Instagram. If you live in the Central Arkansas area, we certainly invite you to be part of our live community. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at the Old Park Hill Elementary Building. That's at 3801 JFK Boulevard in North Little Rock. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.